Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Boy, isn't that an interesting concept? I really think it is. Revelation 21:6 is where this is stated in the Bible. Now, I've got some statements that a commentary wrote, one of the commentators, on this section. Let me read this because I thought it was interesting. Because Jesus is the first and the last, because he is, always has been, always will be, and as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Now, I find that interesting. You know, we say that all the time, but what does it mean? He was, he is, and he will be. He is able to give the water of life to those who are thirsty. He is fully God, and he was fully God and there before creation. And that comes from John 1:1. He's worthy and qualified to make this pronouncement that it is done. How do we know that? It is finished. Now stop and think. He says it's done after the crucifixion, doesn't he? What's done is that he has fully paid for the sins of the world and done what is necessary for the renewal of all things in him. Okay, we have the white around the cross, and we will for another 3 weeks. But why is it white? Because it's finished. It's done. The king is there. You know, there's so many things that we have many times at our church that, you know, we just don't know. Just like the pyramids are white during this time period. I have my white pyramid shirt on. What does white signify? Clean and cleanliness. Okay. And it's the cleanliness of God. Okay. Interesting concept. That he is coming again is a certainty. When he is coming and will bring the end of all things is unknown, but it is certain. When he comes, he will give us the water of life so that we can live forever with him and his Father in the new heavens and the new earth. The Holy Spirit is the deposit on this living water. What's he talking about here? Baptism. The living waters. We came into his family through baptism. We will enter it again at the end through the waters of life and baptism. Baptism at the beginning, baptism at the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. It comes together. That's one of the reasons I like this section today. There's two parts in the Bible I really like. It's during Advent, the second Sunday, where we have that reading that talks about, I will prepare the way of the Lord, make, you know, the pathway straight, you know, bring mountains down for him, all this stuff. And then I really like today's too, because I got a hair that is driving me nuts. Hey, anytime, there we go. Because today is the day that we talk about God and Jesus being together. All right, I'm going to get into that here in a minute. It is staggering to imagine that Christ in his eternal nature has always been, is now, and always will be. As such, we should trust him. He will always do what he promises, as God always does. And Jesus is God. Many times when we start thinking about the Trinity, we think, well, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three, right? One and three, three and one. But yet, are there three? No. And I think that's hard for us to understand. You know, I keep on talking about, it's above my pay grade. But I can't understand it. It's something above my human understanding. But it's God's understanding. So this deals with the beginning of the end of the book of Revelation. Now, you know, many times I've said I'm not sure Revelation should be in the Bible. So here I am preaching on it. Luther, felt the same way, preached on Revelation 56 times. It's in the Bible, and there's some good things in Revelation. All right, Revelation's built on two foundations, beginning and the end of Revelation. Chapter 1, chapter 21, and it only goes through chapter 22, okay? Chapter 1, 21, or excuse me, chapter 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Who says that? God. And today, I mean, we had that reading, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? Today we had, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and was and which is to come. So, chapter 1, I am the Alpha and Omega, God. Chapter 21, I am the Alpha and Omega, Jesus. Why? There's a good question, isn't it? Because when we look at this, Jesus and God are the same. Make sense? So when we look at Revelation, if you think of Revelation like a doorway, okay? In other words, to have the mantle at the top, what do you need? The two supports on either side, right? Those two supports are the foundation of Christianity. I am the Alpha and Omega, and I am the Alpha and Omega. One's by God, one's by Jesus. What are they holding together? Christianity. When you start thinking about it that way, it makes sense, doesn't it? All right, here. Let's look at the first five verses of Revelation. He said to me, all right, so the Apostle John, having been exiled to that island of Patmos, the only one of the remaining 12 apostles who was not martyred, he's the only one that died a natural death. He's receiving an apocalyptic vision, in which Jesus has appeared and is speaking to him about what is to come. What does Revelation mean? True. It means apocalypse. Now, put that in your brain here for a second. What's an apocalypse? Things are coming to... Jeez. Thanks. But when we look at it, the apocalypse is something that's coming that's going to end things, isn't it? An apocalyptic war. An apocalyptic battle. Revelation, apocalyptic. But it also deals with the beginning. So, I am the beginning, I am the end, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. I am God, I am Jesus. This is our religion. It's one of the reasons why when Eusebius put Revelation in the Bible. By the way, Eusebius was the man. When Constantine became Christian, he says, all right, you want me to be Christian? What does it mean to be Christian? Well, there's a lot of us who disagree about things. All right? Work it out. So, they got together at a city called Nicaea. What came out of that? Nicene Creed. Okay? But there was a lot of disagreement about the Nicene Creed. We had bishops fighting sword battles on the floor of the cathedral. Because remember, in religion, you're either right or wrong. I'm right, you're wrong. No, I'm right, you're wrong. All right, so somewhere on the line in between there, you got to figure out what is right and what is wrong, don't you? Okay, so we have this coming up to me, and so we have Jesus appearing and speaking of what's to come. So it is done. Verse 21:7, that's what we're talking about here. The inheritance of the victorious. What in the heck does that mean? Because Jesus is the victor. Where was he victorious? On the cross. Okay? I mean, when he finished his work on the cross, you know, we even say it here, by the power of the cross, okay? He's finished his work, he's in heaven, and he's gone to prepare the place for his church. You know, in John 14, my Father's house mansion has many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. That's things that we are told. All right, then, verse 3. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God the Son has existed with the Father and the Holy Spirit for eternity, and He will continue to exist for eternity. Very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1. And God sent His Spirit out over the waters. Very first, you know, verse of the Bible. Why is that so important? Think about that for a second. God is actually telling us that He is more than just the Father. He's the Holy Spirit. Well, then what about Jesus? Where does it say Jesus in the Old Testament? Let's not all speak at once. Angel of the Lord. All right, we are going to, in Bible study, take this in a real in-depth study on Wednesday. When you get into Genesis 14, you talk about Melchizedek. Melchizedek, boy, there's a big name for you, isn't it? Okay? But Melchizedek was the king of Salem. All right, where's that? Jerusalem. Okay? What does king of Salem mean? Peace. Shalom. Jerusalem, the city of peace. Boy, it hasn't been that way all through history, has it? Okay, but that's what it's supposed to be. So, we have Melchizedek there. He comes up and meets Abraham, right? And Abraham recognizes that he is a priest of God before there's any Jewish religion, before there's any religion at all for God. But he recognizes he is. So what does he do? He gives Melchizedek a tenth of everything he had gotten in the war that they just completed. He tithed to Melchizedek. But yet, is there a Jewish religion? No. But he recognizes Melchizedek as a priest of the true God. All right. Malachi, Melach in Hebrew, means king. Ezedek is righteousness. So Melchizedek is the king of righteousness. Who else is the king of righteousness? Jesus. You see where this is going? So when we say, is Jesus in the Old Testament? You bet he is. And when it says, there was an angel of the Lord who appeared before them. Guess who that angel of the Lord is? Jesus. Because every other time, what does it do? The angel Gabriel. The announcement to Mary, right? Blessed are you among women. All right, so when we take a look at all of this stuff that's coming together, it's brought together in this verse, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus said that. He was, He is, and He is to come. Revelation 1:8. Now, I find this next verse really interesting. To the thirsty, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Recognize the verse? Matthew 5, verse 6. Now, I just talked about Melchizedek being the king of righteousness. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. To become righteous. Now, we're going to go into this in depth on Wednesday, but you know, you start tying this together. One of the things I love about the Bible, if you just take the Bible, oh, I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to read this. No, you got to read them and put them together. Is that easy to do? Well, sometimes no. Sometimes yes. But the thing is, you've got to be open to, all right, wait a second, righteousness. You go through and you search for righteousness. Here it is. They will be filled with the water of life. They will be filled with love, truth, justice, and the glory of God forever and ever. All three hymns today deal with glory and praise. Why do you think I did that? Because our readings are dealing with glory and praise. The beginning of the end. Verse 5, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Now, water without cost. Is there a cost of this? There was. Where? There's the cost. Okay? When we take a look at what Jesus did for us, he was the perfect lamb, the lamb without blemish, who went to the cross to pay for the sins of the world. It finishes the first covenant of the Jews. Okay? Why? Because you have to have blood atonement. Whose blood is more important than God's? Well, Jesus is God. Okay? So God sent himself in the guise of his Son to die for our sins. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, that we might have everlasting life with him in heaven. John 3:16, right? So when we start taking a look at that, it ties together. Okay? Jesus paid for it on the cross. Why? So we don't have to. And that I find very, very fulfilling and very interesting. I want to read a little bit of Genesis 17, or Genesis 14, excuse me. And I talked about this, but I want to read what happens when Melchizedek comes out to visit Abraham. I am blessed, blessed be Abraham by Abram, by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. Abram was blessed by God, and blessed is God himself. Praise, blessing, it's right there, isn't it? And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, Sodom and Gomorrah, king of Sodom, give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hand to the Lord, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Possessor of heaven and earth. Who's the one in charge? God. He is the professor. Not professor, possessor, sorry. But is God Jesus? Hopefully I've been making the point on that today. I am the Alpha and the Omega. God Jesus. I am the beginning and the end. The only thing I don't like about Revelation is the fact that it's about God and Jesus. Who does it leave out? Holy Spirit. Okay, the last person of the Trinity. And that I don't understand, because John talks about the Spirit a lot in his writings. But both times, thank you. What does God say? I am the Alpha and Omega. What does Jesus say? I am the Alpha and Omega. What did God call himself when Moses went on the mountain and talked to him in the burning bush? What do you call him? I am. Can you see how we just tied the Old Testament and the New Testament together? God is I am. Whether it's Jesus, whether it's God, whether it's the Old Testament, it's I am. Well, my friends, we come to the end of the message today. And the thing that I like about this whole thing and what Jesus says, he is our God and we are his people. And my friends, this is most certainly true. May this comfort of the great I am keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.